when not only America, but most of the nations of the world now, they're going through a hard time. There is pandemic, and you might call it a time of national perplexity, and people, they wonder what is going on, and people are restricting themselves, the government, you know, restricting people, and organization, people are calling off jobs, businesses are closing down for a while, a lot of things is happening because of what is outside, what is going on at a time like this. At a moment like this, like the times when nations, when they are going through wars, that is another time of perplexity, all right? It's like we are going through war, but this time we are not fighting with gun. Our opponent is the virus outside, all right? Praise the Lord. That is the opponent we are fighting. And in time of war, people are told, you don't just walk anyhow. You have to restrict yourself. You have to be mindful where you go, where you gather, you know, amongst crowd. You have to be careful and things like that. The same thing is happening right now. So you need strong faith to remain afloat. We need strong faith to remain afloat, to stay alive, both spiritually and physically. What is going on now is there is spread of fear. We've had that last week. Fear is what is going on right now. There is spread of fear, and we have this not only within ourselves, we have it on our television, on our radio, in the air, everywhere, you know, being told you don't have to be where you have large gathering. So whatever is going on, well, to some extent, because they are looking at it from the physical angle, which is okay. They are looking at it from the health angle, which is okay. But then, I want to tell us that we've heard that fear is the opposite of faith. And wherever fear is spreading, perplexity and fear will always do its work. We will see that later. If you know what fear brings. Is to paralyze, is to weaken, and is to limit ability of people to perceive what is happening in the spirit realm, because fear is only dominating in the aspect of the physical, what we see here. But in the spirit realm, because we know the spirit rules the physical, so what is happening in the spirit realm, it takes spiritual eye and it takes faith to see. And if we don't see, then we operate with people physically. Because we are human, and that is what we see. But if the Lord opens our eyes to see spiritually, we know that we are not, humanly speaking, believers. We are not just physical people. We are not just human. We are seeing ourselves. We are spiritual beings. So I want to encourage us to put on our spiritual armor and to begin to perceive with our spiritual eye. Amen. Then we'll see what is happening in the spirit realm, that the spirit rules the physical. And as we agree with heaven, I will bring the spiritual to reign over the physical in the mighty name of Jesus. So fear is a weapon that the enemy uses at any given time. When nations are fighting, what they do, they do what is called propaganda. That is, they sow fear, you know, in the heart of the opponent. Say, we have captured so cities. We have, you know, we have brought down so number of planes. We are coming to that city. We are going to destroy this. We're going to do that. They just sow in fear so that people will be paralyzed and be weakened before they get there. And that is the same thing that the devil uses, fear. I want to tell us, fear not. Hallelujah. Nothing evil shall befall his people. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want us to look at three or four examples where fear was allowed, or where the enemy brought fear. and what was the goal of the enemy, and then we're going to encourage ourselves to see the nature, keep walking by faith. We know the story of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, a man of God, he fears God, he loves God, he, you know, always want to do the will of God. And suddenly there was news. A news came to him that there are three strong nations have come together to attack you, to attack Judah. And the Bible tells us that when he heard of this news, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible tells us he feared. It's just natural. When you look at something that is beyond the ability and you don't have any means to counter, the flesh will first of all tell you, you are not able. So why don't you surrender? Humanly speaking, that was, you know, an appeal to the human emotions. So he was afraid. But being a child of God, one that fears the Lord, his fear drew him to God. So whatever is happening in the nation today, brethren, this is the time to get closer to God. This is the time to pray more. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 to 5, says he feared. When the news came to him, he feared. And that brought about seeking the face of God, not only himself, but the entire nation of Judah. He saw the face of the Lord in fasting. And God heard. Each time we pray, we must believe that God do hear and God always hear. Amen. In verse 15 of that, then the Lord told him, listen, O you of Judah, all of you of the people of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismay because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Be not afraid because of the coronavirus. Because the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And whatever other situation or issue you may be having that looks like you are battling the enemy or something so mighty is confronting your faith, look at it as a challenge of faith. And listen to the word of God this morning, that the battle is not yours. Turn it over to the Lord. Amen. So he prayed and the Lord said, the battle is not yours. And they went into battle with that strong faith, following the instruction of God. The instruction was that don't use the natural, use the spiritual. Don't go with the natural. Don't go with any ammunition. Don't go with any, you know, missile. Don't go with gun. Don't go. Harm yourself with praise. Harm yourself with worship as you go. And God is going to fight your battle. And so they went. You know the story very well, that as they were singing praises unto the Lord, that God set an ambush and the enemy of Judah were brought down. They were killing themselves. And what Judah did and Jehoshaphat, they had to be busy 3 days gathering spoils. I want to believe God that whatever is happening at this moment, it is for your good. It is for the good of the church. What I mean is this. God who knows how to bring something good out of that which is bad, God is going to bring something beautiful out of this situation we are going through. It may not benefit others, but for the people of God and for the church, it must benefit you. For our God is a converter. He's going to convert what is happening to favor you. At the end of that battle, it was Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah that were benefited from the uproar, from the rising of three nations against Judah. They became worthier, they became stronger, they became, you know, well solidified than before. Though it took them time to pray, but that made them stronger. We're coming out of this situation stronger. Stronger in our God who saves, who heals, who delivers. In the mighty name of Jesus. You also know the story of David. David had to fight this war. It wasn't his war. David had to fight the war that belongs to Saul. It is, you know, in those days it was, you know, the king's business or responsibility to lead the nation into battle. So King Saul brought the people, the children of Israel, into battle to face the Philistines and Goliath. But both the king and the entire nation of Israel have been paralyzed because of fear. They withdrew themselves into caves for 40 days and 40 nights. See what the enemy can do through fear. 40 days, 40 nights. They couldn't stand. They couldn't come out. And each time Goliath comes out and, always repeat what they have been saying. You know, are you not Saul, the king of Israel? You just bring up a man. Let that man stand before me and let us fight. Whoever is able, if I'm able to kill the man you bring, then Israel, you will be my servant. You will be our servant. But if you're able to kill me, we'll be your servants. That brought fear to Saul and to the nation of Israel. It was Saul because his connection and his walk with God wasn't right anymore. So it's no more hearing. In one word, he was living on the terrestrial, not celestial. He was living on the earth, only hearing what Goliath was saying, what the people were saying, and all they were saying were negative. All they were saying was fear. He wasn't hearing anything from the celestial, the next realm, the spiritual realm. So he was already head bound by fear. He couldn't come out. For 40 days and 40 nights, what a challenge. Until the young David, 17 years old, came by providence. He was there just to serve his brothers, to see their welfare. And then he heard what Goliath was saying. And something aroused from inside of him. There's always a difference between those who belong to the kingdom and those who are outside there. Those who are outside, they are being propelled by fear, by what they see physically, by things that is happening terrestrially. But those who belong to the kingdom, that is a spirit inside of us, inside of you, that propels you, that makes you see beyond the ordinary, and know that you are not alone. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When David came in, 17 years old, he heard what Goliath was saying. You know, the spirit of the Lord inside of him moved. And he was ready to fight the battle. You know the story. He countered the challenge from the kingdom of darkness. It will take only those who have the spirit of God to counter the darkness of this generation, of this time. It cannot be countered by human wisdom, because there are people outside there who are wiser than you. It cannot be countered by dollar, because there are people who are richer than you. It cannot be countered by anything. All that belongs to this earthly, you know, activity. All these are celestial. Sorry, terrestrial. They are earthly. It must take a weapon that is from the, you know, next level, the higher level, the spiritual level. And it must take those who hear from the spiritual level to use that weapon. That's why the scriptures say we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take hold. Take upon you the whole armor of God, that we might be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. So when we put on that armor and we're equipped by the Spirit of God, we can counter all that the enemy has risen. What is happening in the world today is not just physical. We might say it is, we are seeing it physically. But I tell you, number one, it's part of what has been prophesied. Jesus said, if you read that Matthew chapter 24, it mentions so many things that will be happening. So one of the things that will be happening in the end time, there's going to be pestilence. All kinds of diseases that you never heard of, just be coming out of nowhere. It's going to be one of the signs. So don't be baffled, don't be surprised. Coronavirus, maybe whatever they call his name, all right? Okay, at a time like this, it has come and it will go without touching any of the people of God. And when David took the challenge to go fight, all the people around him that have been living, the terrestrial people living around, they say, you, Number one, you are not experienced. Number two, you are too young. Number three, that guy there, he's been fighting from his youth. He has conquered so many nations. What have you got? What do you got that you want to fight Goliath? I just love the response of David. He countered fear. He countered unbelief. He countered flesh. And then he gave a short testimony, you know. I was keeping my father's sheep and this and this and that. And, you know, there was a day this happened and then a bear came. I caught it by the beard and a lion and I killed both the bear and the lion. Humanly speaking, that cannot be by human strength. So, one word there is a power that worked in him that was able to subdue a lion and a bear. Then he said prophetically, that this man, this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, shall be like one of them. So this coronavirus shall be like one of them. They passed. They came, they gone. They came, and then they left. And we are still standing. Amen. Coronavirus will go, we will remain standing. Standing for the Lord, standing to serve the Lord. Because it's not yet time. Jesus said, tell that fox, I walk today, I walk tomorrow. Why? Because it's not yet time. And he said, walk while you have the light. For the night is coming when no man can walk. We have the light. It's not yet dark. It's not yet night. So we keep busy. Praise the Lord. So David, when finally he took the challenge and he came before Goliath, you know the story very well, and Goliath said, King Saul, is this all you got? And then David came with that small thing and he laughed. He said, am I a dog that you are coming to me with sling and a stone? All right. He said, you know, this guy will kill you. And immediately he countered. Every word that has not proceeded from the heart of God. Every word, every pronouncement need to be countered. Don't take it for granted. Whenever you see anything, a word pronounced to you, a word given to you negatively, or maybe you saw it in a dream, maybe somebody said it, you have the audacity to reverse it. You have the right as a child of God to counter, to cancel whatever is spoken. Even the one that was spoken before you were born on that lineage of yours, cancel it. Keep on repeating from time to time, I am born to win, I am born to be on top. Whatever that have been happening in this lineage, I, Emmanuel, I am no more part of it because I have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. I have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I have a new family. I belong to the family of God where heaven rules the earth, not the earth ruling lives and destinies. So he countered the words of Goliath. So you come to me with sword, with this, with that, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have disdained. This day I will kill you, I will cut off your head, and I will give your body and the body of the Philistine to the birds of the air. And the whole world will know that there is God in Israel. The focus was God, not so that they will know that this young guy is an expert. The focus. He said, you come to me with this, with this, with this, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, God of Israel. So we counter every attempt of the enemy to touch any of his people. Say, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Amen. He permitted no one to do you wrong. And God rebuke kings for their sake. God will rebuke coronavirus for your sake in the mighty name of Jesus. And so when David countered the words of Goliath, David already prophesied, I'm going to kill you, cut off your head. He has no sword. But he's going to cut off his head anyway. Did it happen? It happened. So whatever you say is coming to pass. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We also have the story of, Sennacherib. that strong king who believed that every nation had been subdued under him, and the next nation that was going to be subdued was Israel. He boasted, 2 Kings chapter 18, he boasted of his power and all his ability. And a letter was written, again, fear. That letter was that, look, let's just read something, because we're talking about fear versus faith here, and that we need faith to live in uncertain times like we are now. I want us to read 2 Kings chapter 18, 35 to 36. 2 Kings 18. Is it on the board? 2 Kings 18. All right, 35, 36. Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people heard their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, do not answer him. So if you read from beginning of that chapter, you see, trying to let Israel know, he has conquered this, he conquered that, he conquered this, conquered that. All the nations and their gods. So the God of the children of Israel, it was him, he was looking, it was going to be the next. But he failed. He missed it. He missed it. But then, don't forget, fear. It was spreading fear, but the people did not respond. But when you look at chapter 19, verse 14 to 15, 19, 14 to 15, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord. Where did he go? When he was threatened, and when fear came in, I was threatened. Where did he go? The house of the Lord. He went to the house of the Lord, and he did something, and he spread it before the Lord. He brought the threat before the Lord. That did not stop him from going to the house of God or to consult God. There was a threat, and the best person, the best way to handle it is to let God handle it. So he took his fear and the threat from the enemy to the house of God. Those of us who are here this morning, congratulations. Yeah, because you have won over fear. Some are afraid to step out. But it's okay. Praise the Lord. But you'll discover that if we have to come here every time, every day, we don't know how long this thing is going to last, but I tell you, we will prevail. You'll be on top. We are going to outlive coronavirus with our family members. None of those things that people are spreading the fear, we know it's there. It would be foolish to say it's not there, it's not happening. No, it's there, but we are more than conquerors. So we are to come to the house of God and table whatever the fear, whatever the problem before God. So he led out the letter before the Lord and he prayed over it. He committed everything to God's hands, and the Lord gave him a word. The word that came out was that that man, they will not step into the land of Israel. By the way they came in, by that same way, they're going to go out. Not only that they did not touch Israel. By the time the commander got to their station, their nation, he was murdered, he was killed. For speaking against the people of God. For you having, and you are equating other gods, the gods of other nations, with the God of gods. Hallelujah. Amen. Lastly, example, before we look at Samaria. Samaria had been shut in, just as nations and America. America is shut in now. So many people are not going anywhere. Many businesses are closing down. Schools, we've been told our children will not be going to school beginning this week. So for another 1 week, the other schools maybe for 2 weeks or so. Whatever is happening, is for us to, it's a moment of re-energizing ourselves, equipping ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Now, Samaria had been shut in because of fear. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, we know what happened there, that the situation went on so long that famine. Samaria now, they were now in a period of famine. No more food, all the food supply gone. They were now eating dung of animal and even eating human being, eating their babies. That was the situation. I pray America's situation will not come to that. Before long, we have to reopen because the enemy would have been subdued. It's already subdued in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so that was the situation. So fear was just spreading and the devil was using fear, and fear is a weapon in the hand of the enemy. And wherever there is fear, I tell you, fear can cause a lot of things. There is negative effect of fear. Number one, fear can weaken immune system. So what is the devil doing then? What is the enemy doing then? What is the news all about that is spreading? More people would have lost their immune system, or their immune system weakened as a result of this daily fear. Hey, is it me? Hey, can I even go out? Hey, can, oh, somebody passed just now. Somebody passed, you know, by my side. We don't know whether he's having a coronavirus. So fear of everything. Fear of not even shaking. I'm not saying we have to be careful, like our pastor said. We have to be careful. But then don't become too, you know, fearful that you are not becoming a slave. That's what the devil wants everybody to become. Become so frightened that you can't even greet people. You can't even go anywhere like Samaritan. The Samaritan, they couldn't go anywhere. The end result was very bad. Apart from weakening immune system, which can bring disease in as a result of weakened immune system, fear can also cause cardiovascular damage. The heart can damage the heart. Number three, fear can also affect the gastrointestinal problem, like ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome. So fear is a weapon in the hand of the devil to attack a nation, to attack people, to attack their freedom, to attack their well-being, to attack their finance, to attack their wealth, to attack their health, to attack everything that concerns. And lastly, their fear can also decrease fertility. Fear can decrease fertility. So, this is what is happening. And back to the book of Habakkuk, says, the just shall live by his faith. Now, the way the scripture puts it is talking about your faith, not my faith. In one word, is focusing on individuals. You will live by your faith. I live by my faith. I cannot faith it for you. You have to develop. You have to believe God for a breakthrough. You have to believe God that is more than enough for you at a time like this. Amen. So the just here is talking about the upright. It's talking about those who have been called out, those who have been born again, those who are living upright life, those who are living a clean life, a holy life, by the grace of God, not by human strength. You have to live. To live there, it means you have to flourish. It means you have to be preserved. Go see the meaning of live. That means you are preserved, even in the midst of commotion, problems like we're having right now. So your faith will make you, will bring you to a place where you are able to live. And you will not only live, you will flourish. And the language there is talking about, you being able to float above the situation. The just shall live. That is, you'll be able to float above the situation.
And this is by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need faith. We need to believe God. We need to trust God. We need to hold on to God. And we need to pray more. We need to seek the face of the Lord more. We need to prophesy, because it is what you let out in the atmosphere that you get. It is what you speak out. The words that David spoke out to Goliath. It doesn't matter the past experiences of Goliath. Those words that they brought him down. Because the God of David was stronger than the gods of the Philistines. It is true, they, you know, the Philistines, they have conquered so many nations. They have overcome. And I always say this, and I believe it, that the battles are always between the gods. Their God and your God. Their God, whatever they believe in, whatever they trusted, and your God, the living God. So any battle, every spiritual battle, is between your God and their God. So battles are not just fought and won without consultation of the gods. So it's the word that you release, is your faith that you, that is your anchor to the Lord. It's your faith that holds on. It's your faith that attracts God. It's your faith that draws down the hand of God. Even when you are seeing anything that looks like, it's like this is a symptom or this is a sign, you have to reject it. That's not yours. Because the devil knows how to use people's faith to fight against them. That's the tricks of the devil. That's what he does. If you want to attack anyone, any believer, he uses, you know, he uses, because the devil cannot just come in. Let me put it this way. God cannot force you to do anything. God cannot crash the gate of your heart, of your life, and force something on you. You have to believe him. Believe him means you believe, you trust, and you rely on him that he will do it. And then that invites him. Then he comes in and, you know, does it. If God cannot do that, the devil cannot do same. He cannot crash gate into you and force something on you. No, the just shall live by his faith. What the devil does is to bring fear, weaken your faith. And once the faith is weakened, it comes in through the crack. Don't forget, we are putting on the hammer. The old hammer of God. And we are suited. Praise the Lord. The only place open is the face, right? And then, but sometimes when the hammer, you know, in those days, they always sew it. They have a way of sewing the hand to join it with the body. So if the link, what links the hand, the joint is loosened. If the button is loosened, an arrow can go through the crack. And the way the devil does it is through fear. It tells you, it's like you're having a headache. And they said that's one of the signs. And if you say, yeah, a crack has been created. Praise the Lord. He says, it's like you're having a headache. Say, tell him, I'm not having a headache. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What you are doing, you are closing. He wants a crack, but you don't give him a room for that crack. You are sealing every available opening. If there is anyone, with the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, you are saying, no, I am not going to create a crack. Any crack, if there is anyone, I seal it with the blood of Jesus by my confession. As a man speaks, so he is. Or as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So when the devil brings suggestion that will bring fear, he wants to attack. So once you buy into it, you buy into that fear, then you are allowing the devil, he uses your faith against you. That's what I'm saying. If God cannot crash gate into you and do anything, the devil cannot crash gate into you and do anything. It takes permission from you by first of all suggestion. So when he suggests to you and you say, yeah, then he uses what you believe that he suggested as a means of attack. Say, it is well with me.
Say to yourself, it is well with me in the land of the living. We shall live. We shall not die in the land of the living. The Lord's presence is with us. Greater is he that is with us than he that is in the world. Amen. And I also want us to know the power in the word, especially when you pronounce it and you believe it. There is power when you pronounce a word from the word of God and you declare it. It goes into the air and you believe it. Angels carried it. Whatever had been effective, negative, whatever had been outside there, it does what? Boom, boom. It's like missiles. It kills and it demolishes every stronghold. Is that not what Ephesians says? And also 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but are not earthly, but what? Mighty through God. To the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Strongholds. So when you speak that word, you are releasing missiles, because it's the word of God. It's not you. It's not your word. If you just speak it, you don't believe it, it's not going to work. But if you speak it, you believe it, a missiles have been released. You are releasing missiles to pull down strongholds, to demolish strongholds and demolish every attack of the enemy. Whatever roadblocks, whatever have been, you know, raised up against you and against your well-being or your family, is being demolished by the word of God. And I want you to know that is the greatest weapon you can ever use, the word. How did God renovate? How did he come about renovating the earth? When the earth, Genesis 1 says the earth was chaotic. Everything was void. And the Spirit of the Lord was just hovering over the waters. God said, let there be. And there was. Amen. Say, let there be light. It was darkness that was everywhere. Let there be light. There was. And you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And when he said it, he believed himself. He believed the word that he sent out. There was light. Today we are his sons and daughters. So whatever we speak, we stand by his word. Amen. And as we stand by the word of God, all will be well. Let me say this. Reason why we must not allow the enemy to use our words against us. Job chapter 3 verse 25. Job said, for the thing I feared has overtaken me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Job 3:25. So that is what the devil does. It's not that he's still powerful, but he's not all powerful. He's powerful, but he cannot crash gate into your life, into your family, without your approval. One must have given him permission by accepting the bait, fear. Job dreaded about his family so much. So much afraid. And then later on, he said, what I feared has overtaken me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. We cancel every spirit of fear. We release the spirit of boldness. We release the spirit of Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. As we round up, I want to read Psalm 125, verse 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which, how? Cannot be what? Removed. But does what? Abideth forever. They that trust in the Lord, they that have faith in the Lord, shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. If you believe God, you trust God, you have faith in God, the devil cannot crash gate into you, into your health, into your finance, into your destiny, into your family, into all that concerns you, because you are of God. And if there's anything there that is not of God that the enemy is, you know, propping up, cancel it. You have the right to cancel it. Shall we rise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of God. Faith to live in uncertain times. We have to believe that it's more than enough for you. Hallelujah.